It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile, Alabama. We are Alabama's first and largest CBD retailer. I like to think of us as a superstore because nobody else is brave enough to carry so many brands. And we pride ourselves on giving you way more information and education and deals and opportunities than and events, too, because we're going to talk about some events, than anybody else. I don't know what everybody else is doing. I think they're asleep at the wheel, but here we are, COVID traumatized, trying to move forward. Speaking of which, we've got a couple of things coming up in the next few weeks. Saturday, we are going to be doing a fundraiser, participating in a chili cook-off for cancer. And I'm trying to pull it up on my phone. Excuse my ignorance because I'm a co-host. but it's a pop-up market, basically. It's 755 Monroe Street, and it's at the Icebox. And they're going to have a pop-up market, which is where I come in. And I said, put me at the very front. So by the time they get to the chili, they'll have the munchies. And so, but this isn't it's not like the big chili cook-off that we know. Because all of the participants are restaurants, local restaurants. So you can sample some restaurant chili. And I think they're going to be a little friendly competition. Maybe the a restaurant chili cookers are going to have the munchies too. I've had a really rough couple of days. Am I slurring? I'm so tired. It's been one of those days. I think it would be fun though. We're going to just eat and hang out, and who knows what happens after that. And then April 3rd is kind of a big deal. Someone very special was born that day. Me. So last year I turned 42 during the month, the entire month of 420, and could not have a party. And I was like, what is happening? And I've been determined to make up for that. So my staff is basically in charge, but you know, we're going to have a party at the store, 558 St. Francis Street in downtown, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, April 3rd, and anybody and everybody's welcome. Right about the time we closed the store, and I bought some ridiculous weed-themed birthday stuff that is going to be so fun. But we're going to try to have some live music and some food and have a good time and just, you know, celebrate. And I'm trying really hard, and I've talked to some people. Nobody's really having any big 420 events, which I think is a shame. So, of course, I figured Cannabama should be the one to throw the party. So we're trying to put together something in Bienville Square. I don't know about all the requirements for a permit and things like that. So if anybody would like to call the mayor and tell him to let me do this, that'd be great. But I've talked to some of the restaurants and bars around the square about each of them coming up with a drink or a food item that's infused. And come up with some really fun ideas. But we're going to have the Alabama Normal folks, the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. We're going to have some other organizations out there, some live music all during the whole thing. And of course, any of the cannabis related businesses and farms that are wanting to can come participate. I've talked to some vendors. We've got some folks coming from Colorado to participate. I said, I think maybe I've reached a level of coolness when people will leave Colorado to celebrate 420 in Alabama. So I'm pretty excited about that. I really have no idea what exactly it is as far as details, but I'm working on it. And if anybody out there is listening, if you'd like to participate, we're kind of all just chipping in our own part. Nobody's paying anybody, you know. None of us can afford to do this on our own because we're all broke after the last year. But we all really want to celebrate, and it's so beautiful down there. And we're going to try to do it. It's a Tuesday, which stinks, but we're going to try to start around 4. and go into the evening and everybody can get to bed on time. But, you know, I've got some blinky weed beads and all sorts of fun stuff. And we decided to call the event 420 Bienville Square. It sounds like a really cool old address, right? And I came up with the slogan, Free the Weed, Alabama. So we want to encourage all of our elected officials. Hopefully we can draw enough of a crowd to get a little media, you know? And of course, there will be plenty of pre-rolls to smoke if you like to do that. Lots of gummies to be had, giveaways, things like that. So hopefully by next week, I'll have some concrete details. We're still working it all out. It's a lot of moving parts. But I know that it'll be fun to have a place to get together and really celebrate what we have been able to accomplish so far, because we're halfway there, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. But we want to also make a show of force. You know, we need to show our elected officials we're not ashamed or embarrassed, because there's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about, and show our neighbors too, the ones that are doing it in secret. So anyway, just a little update on what happened with BB&T. I know the ones of you that heard me sort of put out the bat call for a lawyer. I did, at like 8 o'clock the night before, find someone who agreed to be my lawyer just for the sake of not losing the case. And but he's in Birmingham, and so he had to find a local person who would actually show up and stand in for me. And that was all lined up and ready to go. And I get a text message at 7:37 in the morning. I wasn't supposed to have to be there. So I'm wearing ripped jeans and Chucks, you know, and I'm not even prepared. No makeup. It was bad. So I get a text that the guy stopped answering the phone and they can't get in touch with him. And they were like, we need you to go and see what you can do. And I'm like, you don't understand. That was last week, last time. This is it. And so I raced over and I put out a rather dramatic and detailed, and quite frankly, I had to put out a little business to really let people know how serious I was, that this is very important, and desperately seeking anybody in or around the downtown area that would come in and help me out, because I had less than an hour. I had 55 minutes to find someone to just stand there. And I get there, and no one came. No one came, and I stood there by myself. And I thought I was going to throw up. And I had a document on my phone that had been sent to me proving that I had a lawyer. And I didn't have anywhere to print it, and no time to stop. And he dismissed the case. He had no choice. And I, by that time, was sobbing, and I told the guy next to me, because the other lawyer was so ugly through the whole thing. He's the one who lied. And I just said, I hope that you people can live with yourself, you know, because you're almost certainly going to, you know, run my business right on into the ground as if nothing else has. And I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids. So, you know, have a nice life. Congrats on the job security. So I lost my case, and I really can't explain it. They just, man, I don't know. Anyway, that's what happened. I may be able to go back and revisit it if they dismissed it without prejudice, but I don't know. Hopefully so. But anyway, tonight we're going to move on. I don't really know. That's kind of a wah-wah. You know, there's no happy ending there so far. But if there is, you know, I'll let you know. I would say, if you are hoping that your bank is run by people who are competent and fair and who care at all about your life or your money or your business, you better not bank at BB&T. And I don't really care if they don't like it. Anyway, so Bryant Bank is the hero in this story, because they're the reason I'm still here. Tonight we're going to talk again to our favorite duo of late, Tony Wright and Tom Pearson of Alabama Normal. Are you there, guys?
We're here.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to take up so much time, but I thought everybody needed to know. You know, I didn't want to leave that cliffhanger out there, because ever since then, that's probably why I'm so wrung out right now. It was a hell of a weekend. So anyway, how are y'all?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good.
Sorry to hear about the drama you've had to go through.
Well, you know what? I know, and this may sound weird to some people, but I don't really care. I know that God gave me the name Cannabama and the vision and put a fire in me that I never had before that I wouldn't be able to be here without. And all hell has come against me ever since because what we're doing is good and is pure, and it is definitely making waves against the things that keep us as humans sick, which I don't think God approves of. So it is what it is. It's a holy war. That's where I'm at. And I've known that all along. So it is. I'm battle weary, but I'm still standing.
Excellent. Well, thank you for having us back, and I'm glad you're standing and keep standing up, Jen. You're doing great.
Well, you know, I figure, you know, at the end of the day, when my customers keep coming in, and today we had a banner day. I mean, like, Mondays usually suck. And we had a banner day, so I feel like we're going to be okay, you know. It won't save anything for today, but eventually, you know, maybe it'll turn around. When we come back from the break, we're going to go ahead and get started with the guys, get you updated on the latest, and see where we're at with SB 46 and SB 149. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back. We're going to talk tonight to Tom and Tony from Alabama Normal. Tony, you're the executive director, and right? And Tom is deputy, or vice versa?
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay, good. Okay, I thought so. I had all these
That's
notes
correct.
Last time. I thought I could remember. So catch us up to speed on SB 46 first, because I know that we had some sort of a vote last week, right?
We did. So SB 46 was voted on in the Judiciary Committee of the Senate, and it was favorable, so it passed.
Okay.
Go to the full Senate.
Okay, great. So what is the next step then to getting it all the way to, you know, what do we do now? What are we doing this week?
And I'm sure Tom will definitely second this, but we absolutely have to continue to contact our lawmakers, make them aware that how we feel about it, that we want to see it passed. It goes to the full Senate next. I don't think it's on the schedule as of yet, but doesn't mean people should stop contacting, emailing, calling, visiting if possible, just making the lawmakers aware that their constituents want to see this change.
Right. Now, did you say that it's not on the schedule yet? Because I thought we knew that they were going to vote this week.
I believe we know for SB 46. That is the medical bill. I'm talking about the decriminalization bill, SB 149. SB 46 actually passed the Senate Judiciary Committee and the full Senate a while back.
Right.
And that's now in the House of Representatives.
Right.
That was a vote on the SB 46 in the House last week, but the House decided to extend it another week and get more public insight in before making a determination in the Judiciary Committee.
Really?
That's where we are with the medical bill.
After all. That's why? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, what do we need to do that we haven't done for the last 2 years that it's been attempted to pass? Is it really about? Are they going? Did they give themselves another week hoping that we would call? I mean, what does that mean?
Tom, you have thoughts on that? I can share mine, but Tom, what are your thoughts on that?
Tom? There you are. Could you repeat that?
Hello?
Yeah, I think we've got a bad...
Okay, sorry, I'm having a connection issues. Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to... Okay.
Can you hear me? Tom, he said you were good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Go ahead.
So I think it's an opportunity for the legislators to, I think it's an opportunity for the legislators to,
nope.
Yeah, he's breaking up a bit.
We lost you again, Tom. Okay, Tony, will you take that for now and until we figure it out?
Yeah, so with 46, we believe that it's an opportunity for people to continue to contact lawmakers. I believe that we all have, from all the organizations here in Alabama. I know everybody's been reaching out and making the point known, but I think they just wanted to. One of the notes that I got back was that they did not want to rush the legalization of medical cannabis just yet. Although we've been through several rounds of this, this is like the third bill. We've already had a commission who were tasked with doing this exact thing that the House is requesting. Technically, they were the ones who stopped SB 236, which was the bill from 2019, from passing, because instead of a full medical program, they wanted to set up a commission, which was done, and that was signed by the governor. And then that commission voted that we should move forward with some form of legislation with certain points that we might not agree with all, but I think it's an introduction to some sort of a program. But now we went through the channels again, and the House still feels slightly apprehensive. And I think a significant piece of that is just lack of education of what medical cannabis is. So I would encourage anybody and everybody who is an Alabama citizen who has had a positive experience with cannabis as medicine, please find out who your lawmaker is, especially in the House of Representatives. Please call them within the next couple of days and let them know what your experience has been, because I think the more people can hear the benefits of cannabis as medicine, the more likely they will be to push this legislation forward. And then there's still a couple of more hurdles. It's not like...
Right, this isn't the end. There's still other things. There's still other ways it can get held up. But
another committee right after this one. So once it passes judiciary, it's supposed to technically go to the health committee. And then once the health committee approves, then it goes to the full House. So there are three hurdles that we have to jump.
You would think, I don't know what the health committee is, but I'm just going by the name. You would think it would start with them?
No.
Roll Tide. Okay, wait. So over one more week, which is already halfway done, what besides the ones of us that are actually going to do something, it's the same ones. So how do we make enough noise? Seriously,
call.
Too bad 420 isn't coming sooner. That's what I hope that they see, is that people come out in mass, you know, and nobody is, you know, wearing a mask and a cloak and, you know, hiding in the back. They need to see.
I think over time this will be probably, I mean, they're not trying to rush it, from my understanding. They want to really take their time. So
it
might roll into 420 by the time, you know, all this kind of builds up. But we just don't want it to hit any snags along the way.
Well, right. I mean, come on now. It's been here longer than we have. And we've all been through this. The research has been there. There's been states doing it for 20 years. Why does Alabama think that there's something else to be found? You know, I don't get that. I remember when we were first, you know, my first few people were coming, you know, about a year after I opened, because I was the lone wolf. There were stores that were starting to open, and there was a guy who got a lease in Orange Beach, and he did his build out, put all the money into it, because it is not cheap. And then the last thing he did was go get his business license. And the mayor decided, or the city council in Orange Beach, decided that to put a moratorium, a 90-day moratorium, on licenses to businesses selling CBD. Now, there is no special license that we have. There's nothing. They were not prepared for me. And so I wish there was a license and you had to have a written exam. But this guy did all this, and the city of Orange Beach was going to research cannabis for 3 months. And I just thought, good God. You know? because I don't know, so maybe there was something else to it, but that was what they said. And I just can't imagine what the city of Orange Beach and all of their laboratory scientific research could find in 3 months that was going to best, I don't know, Dr. Meshulam in Jerusalem, who's been doing it for, you know, 50 years, or anybody else that actually is sciencey. Come on. It's Alabama. They know cold beer, you know? Come on. I just, it was the craziest thing. I thought, oh, there's something else to that. Somebody has that owns a store that doesn't want competition's got somebody on the city council. That's some shady stuff right there. But I'm like, really? What are you going to do in 3 months? What is a week of hearing from more people going to do? How many children have to seize and get brain damage this week, you know? How many people are going to die? How many people are going to lay in abject misery or overdose on something that their doctor gave them because they're scared when it's legalized all around us? I just, sorry.
Right. No, you're
sometimes I wonder if I'm the only person in the whole wide world who's sane. It doesn't make sense, Alabama. Come on. You can do better than that. If you're going to do something, you know, like that and stall, at least make it sound good. But anyway, so that means we got to get out there and tell them what we think. You got to get out there. I mean, nobody's going to know. It's not like they're going to collect numbers and put an X on their front door and, you know, tell your friends. So, you know, I don't know anybody who's opposed to it. I don't know a single person, and they tell me, you know. But I don't know anybody who's opposed to it. Even people that wouldn't want to use it themselves. So that's crazy. All right. So tell us exactly where we can find the information that we need to get our voices heard.
Well, there are a couple of ways. You can always visit the Alabama Legislature's website to contact your lawmaker. If you do not know who they are, you can come over to alnormal.org. That's ALNORML .org, and we have a portion of our website that is dedicated to tracking active legislation as well as finding who your lawmakers are. If you don't know who they are, you can come to our site, search for your lawmaker, and please contact them. Let them know your feelings. Speak from your heart, your experience.
Right.
Sometimes even speak. A lot of the times, really speak from a scientific standpoint, if you can. The endocannabinoid system is a real system that, if utilized in the correct way, we can start to treat ourselves,
right?
I believe, more efficiently than we have in the past. And if Alabama can tune into that, we could potentially, you know, not to boost us too big, but we can leapfrog some of the other states.
Right.
Look at
Tony, when we come back, I got to interrupt you. I'm sorry. We got to go break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about what you might could say that would make a difference. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now, with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
All right, welcome everybody. We are talking to Tony and Tom from Alabama Normal, and we've been talking about the current state of things with the Compassion Act here in Alabama, which is the medical marijuana bill currently up for vote, and discussing that they put the vote off for 1 week to do some more, I don't know, whatever. So I think it would, if I had known that this was the case, that they were, you know, wanting to hear from people more, and what you suggested, Tony, about saying something scientific, I would have been sitting at home all night long that night putting together little tiny bits of information that they could each drop. And by the time they heard from all their constituents, they'd have a good education, you know, and just be able to say, because I'm sure that they assume most people that are calling that want it, want to smoke weed. They want to get high. They're not really here for a reason other than they want to get away with something, you know. And I think that's tragic because you know, most people are purely uneducated. I've found that even in the industry, people are poorly educated. and still don't know some basic things, which is why we do what we do. You know, I know you guys are real big on educating on the body's natural system of receptors, the endocannabinoid system, because if they can really fully grasp that it's not about how well it works as far as, oh, it makes you feel good, blah, 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 helps with pain. Well, so does, you know, the pharmaceutical grade heroin we're all taking. But the body was made for this. There's more receptors for this than the central nervous system and peripheral nervous system combined. It is what controls the balance in the body, and the balanced body is meant to heal itself. And so, you know, if more people understood this, I just find it crazy that they would be voting on this bill another year and be able to still use the excuse that we don't know enough about it.
Well, I mean, when we put together a commission to research the facts, which they did pretty accurately, I believe, it was all different types of people. You had scientific backing. You had judicial people. You had a lot of different perspectives. I think there was an employer's attorney who offered his perspective. All, I think, valid information and valid perspectives to come to some sort of conclusion, which ultimately...
But how in-depth was the material they were all given to then give their professional opinion? Do we know? Do we know if it was bullet points on, like in a brochure, or was it really good information? Because last year, I watched on Facebook Live when the committee voted whether or not to put it for a vote, to put it to the House or the Senate or whatever it was, and there were people there sort of testifying for and against it. And I know that the doctor who treated Charlotte Fiji, who was sort of like she's the reason Charlotte's Web is a thing. You know, she was sort of the princess of CBD, because that's when the Stanley Brothers, you know, really started using these high CBD plants to treat these pediatric seizure disorders. And so I know he knew his stuff, but there were at least five people, for and against, that got up and they couldn't say the word cannabinoid. They said, every one of them said cannabinoid, and I would have left that room in handcuffs. Like, why do these people get to say anything if they don't know the simple word that classifies the chemical? I thought it was insane, and I was embarrassed. And I wouldn't have been able to control myself. I would have stood up and go, hey, everybody, say it with me. Cannabinoid. I mean, seriously, it's insulting. It's insulting. Don't get up and speak on something if you can't pronounce the main term. You know?
That puts in perspective the challenge that we have here in Alabama.
Well, I wish somebody would let me know when we're at the front end of these things. I'll go. I'll go and sit at lunch every day, wherever they all eat. Come on. Somebody who cares, who's passionate, get reading it. I mean, it's a lot of information. It took me, I'm still learning. And it's a lot of information. And reading it is boring sometimes. You know, it's a lot of it's scientific heavy jargon. And they need somebody who, you know, can get up there and whip them all into a frenzy, and they'd all be like, let's go. I always say, let me in to the governor's office.
And some and we'll of the, some of the legislators won't even bother to read any of this stuff until
exactly. Cause they already know.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, some of them do feel that way, but like, I feel like some of them just are kind of like disinterested in a rational way or in a non-malicious way, and they won't get involved unless people tell them to get involved, and unless people, this is why it's so important for everybody to reach out to their representatives and their senators and the state legislator and let them know how they feel in a very polite and civil way, because that will spur action, that will spur representatives and senators to actually care about the issue and start researching it.
Right.
Some won't. You know, there's a small minority who just are going to be hard-nosed about it, but There's a lot of people who are on the fence or who just haven't looked at the issue because they haven't heard from their constituents about it.
Well, and then there's people like Hefe Sessions who say things like, good people don't smoke weed and tell people to go take an aspirin. But I mean, that I know a genius grower who has a strain that he engineered called Hefe Sessions. He is from Alabama. And I have yet to get any in the store. Oh, but it's coming. So right next to my Trump and Stormy Daniels. Yep, I'm going to give it away for free. I hear it's fire. Anyway, well, I mean, you know, they are motivated by lobbyists. You know, they're motivated by money just like everybody else. And some of them have been in bed with tobacco and pharma and all the people that would, you know, not want to lose their spot in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe Jeff Sessions never had a kid who had seizures or a wife who died of cancer and suffered miserably. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But those of us who have those things to deal with, who see those things every day, it makes no sense. You know, it makes no sense.
Right. And to see the quality of life improvement, even in people who are in hospice care. I care for my uncle, who was a veteran in hospice care a couple of years ago. And he elected to use medical cannabis as opposed to some of the medications that were given to him the hospice care. And it was a big difference because when he was on the medication cocktail that they had given him for hospice, it literally put him down like a dog where he couldn't even move. And then when he elected to use medical cannabis, he was off of his oxygen and we were able to go fishing.
Right.
And I believe that it extended his life a little for us to continue to enjoy. So even in instances where it's a terminal illness, you still have benefits.
Right. It's compassionate.
And enjoy their lives and not just sleep away.
Right.
You know,
yes. Let's not sedate them. Yeah. No, yeah. I had a customer whose wife was lost to him to, you know, dementia. And it was hard for him because she didn't know him. She called him by her ex-husband's name, and her ex-husband was a cruel and heartless man who had hurt her very much. And he knew that, and he was taking care of her full time. I mean, like bathing her, and it was so difficult. That made it so much harder. She saw this man that he knew had hurt her, and you know, his niece is someone that I know who brought him to me, and I gave him, you know, what he needed to try, and he told me I never heard from him after that because I gave him a huge thing. And I didn't hear from him for a long time. And he came to see me, and he said that he wanted to thank me in person, which is why we missed each other. It had been a while. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that you gave me something that I never thought I would have before she passed away. She recognized me, and she called me by my name, and she kissed me on my cheek. And for a minute, I had my wife back. Wow. And I bawled like a idiot because I couldn't imagine how hard that was. And, you know, he loved his wife and she was reduced to nothing and medicated and miserable. He said she sleeps 23 hours a day. And when she's awake, she thinks I'm the man that made her life a living hell. And, you know, I'm going to love her anyway because I know she can't help it. So yeah, this is what we're talking about. People's quality of life. It's not just about the patient either. It's about the difficulty of watching your loved ones suffer, you know. And my manager Haley, with her son's seizures, that's how we met, and now she works for me. And his quality of life, he was on Keppra and Klonopin at 2 and never wanted to be touched and couldn't communicate what was wrong, but all of a sudden he didn't seize for 4 days after one serving, and he would let her snuggle him. And she needed that because it's hard to have a child that's got epilepsy and cerebral palsy that you know will never be normal. And she's young, and she's on her own, and she's braver than I am. But that poor baby was suffering. So come on, Alabama.
Please.
Yeah.
Hear these stories, because it's really true, and a lot of the medications, and I know we have a really great medical system in Alabama, and especially in Birmingham. And I commend the professionals, and I truly do. But I think that we could go a step further if we actually start to utilize some of these plant medicines, and specifically cannabis, is a very useful tool. It does not hijack our brains in an addiction way, and in the same way that some of these other medications do. And it does really improve the quality of life. And it's just, I just really believe that, and I really want people to awaken to that. And if you don't know about it, start to research it. And it's a lot of information, but just start very small. CBD, that can take you on a whole.
Well, hey, I know where you can go and ask questions if you don't want to read it for yourself, which we still tell people. I tell people in the store, I could talk to them for 2 hours, and I tell them, don't take my word for it. Just like the Bible, go read it for yourself. Mm. You know, go read it for yourself and know it for yourself, because I have a motive. You know, you could look at me and say, well, she just wants me to buy her stuff so she can go and, I don't know what they think I do, but I have a motive, a financial motive. Right now I can barely pay my rent, by the way, but you know, somebody who's purely in it for the medicine, go read the research. Go read the stories. You know, it's there. In a minute, we're going to come back and we're going to finish up with that and get an update on SB 149, the statewide decriminalization law. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, y'all. I don't know if y'all know this, but I never knew that y'all could text message and stuff into the show. They didn't tell me. Look over and here's all these messages that are like talking to me. This is the coolest. I thought no one listened to this show except the three people that recognized my voice in the Lowe's light bulb department. I apologize if you thought I was ignoring y'all for the last almost 2 years. It's a revelation. I'm so excited. Oh, now I'm going to have to print it and read it. And anyway, I never know. I know I've never even seen stats for the show. I have no idea if anybody listens. I just thought they let me come in here and ramble every week. Well, we sure would love to. I'm gonna kick somebody's tail. I just don't know whose it is. All right, so we got to wrap up. Get us current on 149. I'm still geeked out. I feel like I might have a fan or two out there, and I'm excited.
So, 140 SB 149 is Senator Singleton's bill. It has passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It has not yet been voted on by the full Senate, but we are hopeful that it will be and pass on to the House. So if we and the state legislature, as I was talking earlier, the vote on that to hear from.
I think we lost Tom again. Tony, can you take over for a sec?
Yes.
Okay.
So the vote on that is passed the Judiciary Committee and it goes to the full Senate. I think, you know, and this might be a personal opinion, but I'm just looking at the logistics of it all. I think it's sort of an accompanying, even though it shouldn't necessarily be, but I think that it accompanies the SB 46, just in terms of the general receptiveness to cannabis legislation in general. So if the medical bill passes, just by default, in my opinion, the decriminalization bill has to pass, because one, the reason that cannabis is illegal is because it's technically a Schedule 1 drug, which means that it has no medical benefits and it's highly addictive.
Right.
It's not true, actually.
No.
We know that it has medical benefits.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, I'll speak to the highly addictive, because I tell people this. You know, the reason that most narcotics are so dangerous and you can die is because they have receptors in the base of the skull and the brainstem where your involuntary body functions are, where you're breathing, heart rate. You know, even if you pass out, your body's going to keep breathing. You're going to keep, your heart's going to keep beating. Those drugs can overwhelm that. And there are no receptors in the brainstem at all for cannabis. You can take too much and feel like you want to die, but you will not.
Correct. Correct.
What they did with the Controlled Substances Act is lunacy, and the exact opposite is true.
100%. And so we want to make sure people are aware of that, voice that to your lawmakers, so they become more aware of that.
Right.
And it is a safer alternative than some of the things that were already introduced. I don't think that we should necessarily be forced to try some of the things that are more dangerous than cannabis, if we choose to elect for medical cannabis. But yeah, medical cannabis is, I believe, the future, and the world is just starting to kind of, well, I shouldn't say we're starting to wake up to it, because we've been using it for thousands of years.
Right, I was going to say.
Well, within the last 100 years,
right,
we're starting to reawaken to the potentials, and because of our technology advancement and our advancement in medicine, I think we can take it steps farther than we've already taken it before.
Right. Yeah. How can we let people from the 1800s, late 1800s to early 1900s, be cooler than us? You know, come on. They barely had, like, did they even have real plumbing back then? Come on. Right. We have every bit of information we need in our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no excuse for anybody to not have the information that they need, especially people that consider themselves qualified enough and educated enough and experienced enough at life to be an elected official and who have that responsibility. I think it's lazy, and it's a poor excuse.
Right. I will say this, 100%. And I know we're about to wrap up here, but I think, and no disrespect to any lawmaker or any person who has a hard time kind of wrapping their head around it, but I think it's a cognitive dissonance issue too, because just if your whole life you've been told that this plant is bad, this is
right,
bad, don't do drugs, and this is as bad as this, that's just the way that you view it. So now, after all these years, to switch it, it's slightly difficult.
It is. I said that firsthand. I said that. I can't do that. That's weed. I'm in recovery. Nope. Until somebody I trusted told me otherwise.
Right.
But she told me more than, it's safe, you can do it. She gave me a little info and a testimony, and then I went and found the information.
Good.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage people to do that for themselves as well. And the way that you did that, so even if you start off from that perspective, just go do the research, because there is plenty of it worldwide.
Oh, man, yeah.
Our own country has it. We just really need to start digging it up and really taking the time to process it and seeing that there is a alternative to some of the medicines that we're taking that is very useful, and the cannabis plant houses a lot of those compounds, and we should really respect it and figure out a way to use it.
Right.
I asked a pharmacist recently, I said, do you feel like cannabis is a public health issue, like in the sense that there's a threat to people consuming it on a mass scale? And he said, I don't. He said, I believe that the public health issue is the fact that we're not allowing access to people to use it.
Right.
And that resonated.
Yes. Well, I mean, I know that it probably seems scary for the medical community and maybe even the pharmacy community, because it would take away from what they do. But isn't that why they got into what they do?
Well, I think it would give the doctors another tool in their toolkit, and surely that's better than having fewer tools.
Right. Well, when the number three cause of death is doctors, you know, and in my, the two of the absolute worst things that have ever happened to me, the death of my son and my addiction, were caused by medical error and medical greed. You know, those doctors are in prison. And the doctors that caused the death of my son and the nurses that did, nothing happened to them. You know, and my, you know, they made a 9-pound torpedo go through my body and almost killed me. I was 25 years old and perfectly healthy. and my healthy son is dead. Mm. He should be turning 18 in June. Mm. And nobody even would tell the truth or say they were sorry. Nothing happened to them. And I still, to this day, have to live with that. So, and that happens to lots of people. They're so busy trying to avoid a lawsuit. It's like they lose their humanity somewhere along the way.
Agreed. Profits over people, and it should not be.
And I often wonder if any of them ever think about me. Because that was what happened to me and my son was something that doesn't happen. And I've looked, because sometimes you want to know there's somebody else that's done that, that's had the same thing happen. You don't want to be the only one. I've read medical journals till I was crazy, and I just can't find anyone. And so I know they remember the state of Louisiana, every doctor and every lawyer knew who we were all of a sudden, because it just doesn't happen. It was so bad and so tragic and so preventable. And do they ever think about me? They think about what it's like for me to live without him and what it's done to the rest of my life. That's why I ended up on pain pills. So, you know, I mean, we got to do better.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Anyway, sure. That was a really somber way to end the show. I'm okay, y'all. If I don't cry, you're good. But it's true, you know, I should have my boy with me. Thank you, boys, for being with us. I'm sure we'll be back to update y'all another time as we move forward on SB 46 and SB 149. Thanks for being with us on Sweet Home Cannabama. We'll see you next time. Good night.